You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll hear about the uncertain future of the Affordable Care Act under a new president.
Now, on December 1st, new federal rules regulating overtime pay will go into effect. In just over a week, salaried employees earning less than $47,476 a year will be entitled to overtime pay.
But how will the new rules impact employees, and how will businesses, large and small alike, implement the new policies?
Carla Miller joins us now. She's a columnist with the Washington Post. She specializes in matters affecting the workplace. Carla, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start off with a look at these new in effect rules. We talked about them on the show when they came out. How big an increase is this salary threshold?
Well, the salary threshold is about doubled. So now, whereas before people making about $23,000 would be exempt from overtime, the Labor Department increased that threshold almost double, or more than doubled it, to $47,000. So anyone making less than that is now entitled to overtime for any hours they work over 40 in a week.
And the intent of this change in the rules, the reason we have this threshold is so that, as I understand it, an organization can't say, you're an hourly employee. No, now you're a salaried employee, so we don't have to pay you overtime, and you can work as much as we want you to now without overtime pay. Is that kind of the goal that is trying to be reined in here?
That's exactly right. The threshold had not been updated significantly since 1975. So you'd have workers, for example, in the food service industry or retail, making $25,000, and the employer says, well, you're a manager. You're doing manager duties, so we're going to pay you the same salary whether you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. The goal of these regs is to update that income threshold so people can earn overtime if they're earning up to $47,000. And the goal was to make it more fair, to free up people so they're not having to spend so much unpaid time at work.
Now we're going to talk about some of the specifics of what this is going to mean in the workplace. I want to throw an asterisk up here, though. There's going to be a new president, a Republican Congress that has had rumblings of maybe changing these rules, maybe back to the old way, just striking them down. Is there a chance that these will not be around for very long?
Well, that's a little outside my wheelhouse. I'm not much for political prognostication. Mm-hmm. But I prefer to speak to the rules as they are in existence now. The Congressional Budget Office actually released information estimating the revenue effects of what would happen if the rules were, in fact, canceled or rolled back. That's available through the Labor Department's website if folks want to read more about that.
Right, and then we'll proceed through the rest of the conversation as though this is kicking in on December 1st and staying that way.
Let's just assume we're keeping the status quo. Yes.
Right, and now, as I understand it, a lot of businesses, nonprofits, I think maybe even government agencies, colleges are trying to figure out, maybe still, does this apply to me and my organization? And it sounds like if someone's asking that question, then probably, yeah, it probably does.
Yes, I actually received a question for the column, someone asking, well, does this apply to my business if we have fewer than 75 employees? And the answer is that it doesn't matter how many employees you have. What matters is whether your business does $500,000 a year in sales or other business income, or if individuals within the business are engaged in interstate commerce, which is a pretty broad net.
That means if I send an old-fashioned fax or work electronically, or there's a lot of things that fall into that interstate commerce category.
That's exactly right. Anyone who sends emails, uses the U.S. mail, these are things that cross state lines. Therefore, you're engaged in interstate commerce, and therefore, as an individual, you fall under these overtime rules.
Talking to Carla Miller from the Washington Post about these new overtime rules that are coming into effect at the beginning of next month, so just a week and a half or so before these kick into action. And Carla, let's say I am a business owner or HR department, you name it. I'm in one of these businesses. I've got employees in that transition zone. They're above the old limit, under that new limit. So I'm going to have to do something different now. What are my options? What can I do?
Well, there are a number of options that the DOL lists on their site. One option is that you keep your employees where they are at their current salary and just pay them whenever they go above 40 hours a week. Go ahead and pay them time and a half based on their current salary, their current hourly earnings. Or you can bump the salary up so that they meet the new threshold, and then however many hours they work, they will not earn overtime pay for that. You can also, you could limit them to 40 hours a week, keep them, change them to hourly or keep them salaried, but say you can't work more than 40 hours in a week.
And there's been some pushback from employers and nonprofit organizations, too, saying one way or another, this is going to involve more accounting or I'm going to have to increase pay. It's going to cost us more money to do this. Have you heard a lot of questions and complaints along those lines?
Oh, yes. And even among those, even among those who are protesting the rule, I should say most seem to agree that the rule is long overdue. It was time to update the income threshold. It's just that many folks disagree on the amount and how quickly it's happening. For businesses, this is creating something of an administrative burden. They have to take all their employees between the old threshold of $23,000 and the new threshold of $47,000 and figure out how they're going to handle those individuals. Are they going to bump up their salary? Are they going to limit their hours to 40? Are they going to start paying them overtime? And whatever option they choose, there's a chance that they could be losing productive hours or that they'll be paying out more money. They also argue, employers argue, that this is going to have an effect on employee morale. And employees who were previously salaried and had a great deal of flexibility with their work week, with however many hours they spent, they could knock off a little early on Friday. Employers argue that now these employees are going to have to keep track of their hours to make sure they're not going above 40. And for workers who enjoyed that flexibility, they might object to now having to keep track of every hour they spend on the clock. And they may also object to being bumped from salaried to hourly. Even if their annual income remains the same, there's an argument that the feeling of status is lost by having to change to hourly.
Did I see, and maybe it was in your column, this sounded a little complicated, but there might be some kind of flex time thing where if you're in a business that has a busy season before the big holiday rush or something like that, then you can sort of iron things out to where employees are working 60 hours those weeks and 20, 30 hours other weeks, and that makes up for it. Is that an option for businesses?
Right. That's called the fluctuating work week method. And it's, as you say, it's for businesses where employees might be working 50, 60 hours one week or 25 to 30 hours the next. And the way that works is the employer and employee work out an agreement where they have a base salary. And then the employee can earn that base salary every week, regardless of however many hours he or she works. But if the employee goes above 40 hours in a week, the overtime rate is half time rather than time and a half. I should caution that this is a very complicated method, and you shouldn't undertake it unless you talk to your HR department and a lawyer to make sure that your employees actually qualify for this method and that you're applying it correctly. Because it's possible, it is an option, but it's possible to get in trouble if you don't know exactly what you're doing.
And these rules were announced a while back. They come into effect December 1st. From where you're sitting, does everybody know this is coming, or are there a lot of people now just hearing about this and saying, oh, wait, what?
Well, even up to a month or two ago, I mean, these regs have been debated for a couple of years now. The order came from the administration in 2014. The Labor Department proposed the rules in 2015, and then there was a lengthy comment period. They received 270,000 comments. And then earlier this year in May, they finalized the rule. And the Labor Department, HR departments, and associations, especially small business associations, have been scrambling to make sure that everybody hears about it. But there are still businesses who maybe they don't have an HR department, they can't afford HR or legal consults, and they're not aware that even though they may just be a few people, a few employees, that they're subject to this rule too.
We're talking to Carla Miller from the Washington Post. She's a columnist specializing in workplace issues. Talking to her right now about what you need to know about the new federal overtime rules going into effect on December 1st.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. What do you think of the new overtime rules? If you're a business owner, how have you dealt with these new rules? If you're an employee, what questions do you have about the coming changes? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're talking about the new federal overtime rules that will go into effect on December 1st and what you need to know as an employee or as a business owner. And we're taking your calls about the new rule. If you're a business owner, how are you handling the new rules? Or if you're a worker, what questions do you have about the process? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation with Carla Miller, at work advice columnist for the Washington Post magazine. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Luke on the line in Madison. Luke, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Luke?
Hey, I've just been working in the food industry, specifically now right in the fast food business, and I think it's a great change. A lot of managers, especially general managers, assistant managers, they go into a job with a salary being told, you know, this is the amount of time you'll work, blah, 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 and they end up being taken advantage of just because they're salaried and there's no way to get around what needs to get done in a store or in a certain business, and they end up working a lot more hours than they thought they had.
Luke, thanks a lot for sharing that perspective. And Carla, I hear about this rule a lot in reference to fast food in particular, where you might get a promotion. Congratulations, you're a shift manager, assistant manager. You're now salaried over that old threshold. By the way, you have to work all the hours. So that's
right.
A place where it's going to change.
Sorry?
That's the place where it's going to change, this new rule.
Yes. It's going to change so that if you're working over 40 hours and you're not making that new $47,000 threshold, you are entitled to time and a half for those hours. And it may be that I understand a lot in the fast food industry, these managers are having to work a combination of, you know, sort of line worker jobs as well as management jobs as well as, you know, opening and closing. Maybe they'll have to be more sort of delegation of those other tasks so they can tend to the management side of things and get all that done within a 40-hour week.
So for an employee who's at a business, maybe in that or a similar situation, who doesn't think their workplace is observing these new rules starting in December, what do they do? What are their options?
Well, they can certainly take it to their managers or contact the corporate headquarters. Also, if they don't feel comfortable doing that or they're concerned about retaliation, I recommend they go to the Labor Department's website, dol.gov. There are lots of fact sheets and FAQs. There's a banner at the top of the page that talks about the new overtime rules, spells out what the rules are, so you can get an idea of whether you fall under them and if you're being treated fairly. If you suspect you're not, you should contact the Labor Department helpline, 1-866-4-US-WAGE, or 866-487-9243. That's available on the website as well.
Luke, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Mary in Madison. Mary, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Mary?
Yes, I'm not sure if you're aware of these sort of dealings, but I am currently a manager in food service, working 45 hours a week, and come December 1st, I'm going to be having a reduced hourly rate so that when I work 40 hours a week, I will not make my current salary, but then I will be forced to work an extra 7 hours at an overtime rate in order to equal out my current salary. Have you heard of anything like this? So basically, I'm getting a cut in pay if I were to leave. Yeah, I'd be making a less per hour, but now I'm forced to work an extra 2 hours a week in order to make my salary so
Got
that
it.
The company can recoup a little bit of money.
Mary, thanks for the call. Carla, have you heard of that sort of thing?
I have heard of that sort of thing. And let me just take a moment and pause to point out I'm not a lawyer, and this isn't legal advice, but my understanding is that is one of the options that that's available to employers. They can choose to reduce an employee's base salary. And they say, oh, you're making this much a year, but we need you to work 45, 50 hours a week. So we're going to reduce your base salary, and you're going to make that up with overtime. So you'll have to you'll be taking home less base salary unless you work those additional overtime hours to stay at the level that you were at before. That is an option. It's not ideal for workers, and as Mary indicated, it's going to make workers pretty unhappy.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Carla Miller from the Washington Post magazine, looking at new federal overtime rules that kick into effect at the beginning of next month. Brandon joins us next. He's on the line in La Crosse. Brandon, hi.
Hi, thanks.
What do you want to tell us about, Brandon?
Well, I guess I had a question about if your current salary is under the what's going to be the new threshold, but you get a certain percentage of commission. Wondering about, because my current commission is under what the salary threshold is as well, if I were to get everything. So would they be able to just raise my my potential commission to this new salary threshold? And would that bypass it, sort of as a loophole, I guess?
Interesting, Carla. That's a different wrinkle. Commission. How does that fit into this?
Yes, I'm a little fuzzy still on the exact details regarding commission, but the Labor Department has said that employers can use commission in part to make up this to make up income up to this threshold. I think it's something like 10%, but I would have to double check that with on the Labor Department website.
Brandon, thanks for that call, and good luck getting that sorted out. And I guess tipped employees usually would be hourly employees, not salaried, so that may not be a wrinkle that comes up as often?
I'm fuzzy on the details regarding tipped employees as well. As I understand it, they can use tips and commissions, but it's a small enough percentage that you couldn't rely entirely on tips to make up that difference.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Wade in Wisconsin Dells now. Wade, hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
I've got a question concerning, I've got a few people on salary, and the majority of them will have to probably change to hourly or deal with some way that way. But my question is, I've got a general manager who passes the administrative test or the exemption, if you're calling it that. And I'm wondering if they have to pass the wage test and an administrative test, or if they just pass the administrative or the executive test, if that's enough to make them exempt.
Okay, so it's an executive position, a general manager, Carla, but it is under that 47,000 and change threshold. Would the law apply to them? The rules change, I should say, apply to them.
Yes. Well, if I can take a step back and just sort of give an overview of the rule that you're talking about, you have to meet, to earn overtime or to be exempt, from overtime, you have to meet a salary threshold and also perform certain duties, administrative, executive, professional classification. Under the new rules, what they changed was the income threshold. They did not change the duties test. So the duties test remains unchanged. Anyone under the income threshold of $47,000, regardless of duties, is entitled to overtime. For the administrative exemption to kick in, the employee would have to be making $47,000 and fit into that administrative classification.
Wade, thanks for the call. So if Wade's general manager was a general manager making $50,000 a year, then that manager could be exempt.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck getting that sorted out, Wade. John is with us next in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We have a manager that works for us, and she makes under the threshold of the new law, but it kind of hurts her because we don't utilize her like over 40 hours a week like some other companies do, but she has the option of banking hours. So then if she does want a couple extra days off, she can take the days off, and she's still getting, she's still equaling out to 40 hours a week. But now with the new law, we have to put her into hourly, and she no longer has that option now of being able to have a little bit more flexible schedule, especially for us in the service industry where this month, next month is really busy, and we need her more than maybe we need her in February, where she can take a extra vacation if she wants.
John, thanks for the call. So that sounds kind of like an informal, maybe flex time sort of scenario, Carla. Is that sort of thing going to be harder under the new threshold with the new rules?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I should point out no one has to put employees no one has to change employees to hourly under the new rules. The Labor Department doesn't require that, but many employers may find that an easier way to sort of keep track of things. The most generous option would be to keep employees as salaried with their flexibility, but then pay them for any hours over 40 if they choose. But that's an extremely, extremely generous option. For this employee, that might be she might be a candidate for that fluctuating work week method we talked about earlier. If she consistently works significantly more or significantly less than 40 hours in a week, and they sort of those short and long weeks sort of balance out, she might be a candidate for that fluctuating work week method, where she gets paid a base salary and then gets paid half time for anything above 40 hours. But that really sort of illustrates the difficulty and the administrative burden that employers are facing in figuring out how to handle these situations and how to apply these rules. So I'd recommend talking to HR consultants, professionals, or talk to a legal department, maybe get a one-time consult to sort of work through what would be the best option that would be fair to the employee without creating too much of a cost or administrative burden on the employer.
Carla, as we wrap up, I mean, from the questions you're getting from people who write into your column, are you expecting maybe a little bit of a bumpy road as this starts to roll out, Nick, or as this kicks into effect next month?
It's possible. I haven't seen too much yet, but I think we'll see once people start getting their paychecks after December 1st. Maybe we'll start to hear more about that. I did hear from one person who wrote me some months ago asking about the rule and how it would be applied, and he came back to me and said that his employer had decided to bump his salary up to $25 above the new threshold. So he is salaried. He did get a raise, but he is also going to be working, you know, he's also going to be working without overtime as an option.
We'll leave it there for now, Carla. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Carla Miller, at work advice columnist for the Washington Post magazine. She's been talking to us today about the new federal overtime rules. They go into effect starting December 1st.